Welcome, friends. This is James Corbett, CorbettReport.com. It is currently the 5th of November. Remember, the 5th of November here in Japan. It's the 4th of November there in the United States, where I'm joined on the line once again by Jack Blood, the host of the Jack Blood Show on No Agenda Radio. That's 9 to 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. Is that Central Standard Time?
It is 9 to 11 Central, and I love that.
Okay.
Thank you for saying it. I'm in the Eastern time zone,
right,
in Atlanta.
10 to noon Eastern, right.
It's fun to say I'm on 9 to 11 Central time.
Right, and of course that's at noagendastream.com. Of course, his main website, deadlinelive.info. So Jack, thanks again for coming on. Always a pleasure to have you on.
Yes, well, we're on many devices, thankfully, and between all of the many, many devices, the illegal downloads, the bootlegging of the Jack Blood Show, we're reaching hundreds, if not thousands, of people.
Excellent. All right. Next up, world domination.
The gunpowder plot of the 5th of November, and really one of the most famous false flags. I'm sure you've covered that many times on your broadcast.
As a matter of fact, I have never covered the gunpowder treason and plot, but it is a fascinating story. For people who aren't up on it, tell them a little bit about that history.
Well, you know what I think is, we could go into it, and it's certainly all out there. It's a little different than V for Vendetta, for those of you who just saw the movie. It's actually a lot different. But they found it's just kind of like the Reichstag, or, you know, when Rome burned, or I guess 9/11, they found patsies or a patsy, and they strung them up for blowing up Parliament. That was the angle. They were going to blow up Parliament from the 5th of November. But coincidentally enough, the plot got stopped, and it was kind of like an FBI sting operation, James, kind of like that whole thing we had here a couple of weeks ago where the 21-year-old kid was going to blow up the New York Federal Reserve all by himself. So it was a setup. But what's interesting in all of this is there was a group of conspirators that really were in the thick of this called the Percy family. And in order to escape hanging and persecution and death, they ran to America, changed their name to Pierce, and some people know Barbara Pierce, who was cousins with George Herbert Walker Bush. Now she's Barbara Pierce Bush. So her family directly related to the gunpowder plot of the 5th of November.
You know, you're exactly right on all of that. I hope people will check into that. And you're right. I should actually cover that sometime. I should have a specific episode of the podcast on that. So you've inspired me to.
If anyone can rip that thing to pieces and make it sound logical, it's going to be you, James Corbett.
Well, I'll do my best. You have my word. All right. Well, speaking of...
That was the blowing smoke portion of our show.
Is that the best you can do, really? All right. Well, speaking of things a little closer to home and a little closer to our current day and age, why don't we talk about some things that are making the news now? Of course, a lot of people still there on the East Coast, still digging out from under Hurricane Sandy and everything that came out of that. Tell us about your coverage of that and what you've been talking about there on the show.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be really honest with you. We haven't done a ton of coverage on it. There are such things as hurricanes. They are horrible to the population. I was really taken aback at how bad the infrastructure is. You know, you can have $1.5 billion, you know, football stadium in Dallas, but you can't build something to maybe stop the seawater from coming into New York City, where there's 8 million plus people. I thought that was rather startling, and I think it should show people, you know, where our priorities are, because while we're blowing up and reconstructing the Middle East, our own infrastructure here is decrepit, and Category 1 hurricane, although it was a big one, shouldn't have tested us to this degree. That being said, the timing of it, I think a lot of people have talked about that being a little bit curious. It's just before an election. It hit blue states. We'll tax the people. They had even toyed around with the idea of suspending or delaying the election on Tuesday, James, because of Hurricane Sandy. So, but on the other hand, the usual suspects, I don't know how much they're benefiting when, you know, we're looking at $50 to $100 billion worth of damage, and a lot of that to the elite's hardware. So, if there's a conspiracy there, I'm not totally seeing it, though we did look at the satellite photos, and there was that wispiness. This kind of brings up the great question. If you can control the weather enough to steer a hurricane into into New Orleans for Katrina, which is kind of what we had, what was our initial analysis. We did believe that that could have been very possible. But if you can steer and control the weather, then you can certainly steer a hurricane away from us, can't you? I mean, wouldn't that be nice if for once they use this high elite technology to help the people rather than not? So I think, you know, this is kind of one of those let it happen on purpose deals as far as Hurricane Sandy. And it is monstrous. The damage is telling on a lot of levels. And boy, I just wish I had advanced knowledge that was coming, because I could have really done some great hedging in the stock market.
Well, exactly right. Well, you bring up a number of good points there, and I think you're exactly right that we have to be aware that if the technology exists to steer these types of big storms, then certainly it exists to steer them away, and we should think about that every time they fail to do that. So that is another aspect to all of this. But of course, as you point out, it takes sometimes a big storm like this for even some of the dumbed down population to realize that the myth that government is going to be able to provide for you in times of a crisis, even if they want to, is completely just ridiculous. And unfortunately, it does take some big scale events like this for people to see that. But occasionally, right, the message gets through.
Could it have been? I mean, people talk about weather warfare between, you know, Russia, China, the United States, England, and the big superpowers. Could it have been a tug of war? Hurricane Sandy. I'm just not concerned. I don't have enough knowledge and enough evidence to really say one way or the other, though we're facing a similar problem that y'all had in Japan with Fukushima. We've got problems at 5 nuclear plants thanks to Hurricane Sandy. Of course, none of this has even remotely been talked about on the mainstream news. One plant has lost power. It's critical. These spent fuel rods possibly could overheat. I don't think we have any clue. And maybe it's the same thing with Fukushima. Before, you know, the damage set in and the thing started to blow and melt down, they weren't telling people, hey, you know, this could be a problem. So we have the same problems here, and we're keeping a very close eye on that because that could accelerate. Look, we're not going to hear anything one way or the other before this selection is done on Tuesday, James. And, of course, both sides are milking this for all it's worth.
Unfortunately, quite true. All the news goes on hold while the selection takes place. So I suppose we have to cover it as well. Tell us your thoughts on what's coming on Tuesday.
Wow, I use a mathematical formula to I don't gamble, James, but I do, you know, try to play the point spreads to see how good my formulas are. And it's just a very simple one is a yes and zero is a no. And I've added them up on a number of categories for the Obama-Romney selection here in 2010, 2011 and 2012, because it's been about 3 years. And it just all keeps lining up for Obama all the way. So he's I think they're very strong, and I believe it was predestined to keep him in. He just does such a great job keeping the anti-war people quiet, keeping the anti-freedom or the pro-freedom people. A lot of them are very quiet, if that makes sense. So we're not seeing a huge protest to things like the NDAA, whereas if Romney gets in and tries to do any of this, there's going to be a huge uproar here. There's going to be a lot of domestic resistance. He's not going to be able to fatten up Obamacare, which Obama now calls it himself. He's not going to be able to, you know, legalize or open the borders and give a blanket amnesty to illegal aliens here. He's not going to be able to take your guns. There's just a lot of things that Romney can't get away with. And if it's foreign policy and you want to bomb the world, Obama's doing a pretty good job at it. And they should be happy with his foreign policy. So the powers that be are generally in the pocket with Obama, as far as I can tell, James. But there are some unsatisfied customers, and they've been pushing pretty hard for Mitt. One of those people we've been tracking is Hillary Clinton Kissinger, who basically, if Obama gets in and survives through the four, I mean, I'm not kidding when I say that. If he survives and lives through the 4 years that he'll be getting, the extension of the Bush presidency, Bush's fourth term, as we call it, she's done. I mean, she's just no way she'll ever be president. She's not getting it in 2016 because they're going to put in Jeb Bush or a Republican. There's no Democrats going to win in 2016 if Obama carries. And that pretty much is going to be a two-termer. So we're looking at another 8 years of Jeb Bush. She would never get to be president. And even though she's got bigger things on her plate and huge things on her horizons, I believe Hillary Clinton is the protege of Henry Kissinger right now. So she's got a lot of things she could do and a lot of options. She just wants to be president. She wants to be the first woman president, really bad. And so I think she has stabbed Obama in the back. She has not gone out once and campaigned. In fact, there's even stories circulating that she's endorsed Romney. One of her aides just came out, a huge New York player, a Democrat, just endorsed Romney. We carry that story at deadlinelive.info. And we also believe that she was part of the setup crew for the Libya Benghazi attack to stain Obama on his foreign policy.
Well, I'm completely with you on your examination of the political calculus there, because I agree. I think Obama does seem to be like he's more likely to be selected, but that will not work in the favor of Hillary and any chance that she would have for any type of run in 2016. So I think there must be some backdoor shenanigans going on. But what can you say specifically about her role and the things that her and her people have been doing?
Well, what they've been cutting Obama out of the loop on Benghazi, and the Fox, the Republican media, call it what you will, that's talk radio here in the United States, almost all Republican, have tried everything to nail Obama to the wall on this, and none of it is really sticking, largely because the larger portion of the establishment media isn't reporting on it at all. But They use that video, James, to incite people all over the Middle East, literally taking over radio stations or using the ones they had, in an operation very similar to Operation Ajax in Iran in 1953 to destabilize the Middle East, to make it Obama's problem. But it just isn't enough, because people don't trust Mitt Romney. They're not going to come out to vote for him. A lot of people don't like Mormons. They're not going to vote for him. And the Obama crew, they have the limos to take people to the polls, not to mention they're the establishment party. They're in power. And it's easier for them to fix an election than, say, the Republicans, at least on a technical level. In fact, we've already had two cases, one in North Carolina and one in Ohio, at two different polling places where people went in to vote for Romney in early voting, and they checked their vote, and it said Obama, not Romney. So it looks like the Obama administration and their power puppets have already begun and tried to fix this election. You know, again, anything could happen. I never want to predict things, but I have been predicting. First of all, I did predict him, for whatever it's worth. I don't predict, but I do, right? I did predict Romney would win the nomination, no problem, though it was a bit of a problem. I predicted to be low voting turnout. I think we've already seen that in early voting, and I predicted Obama would win. So it just, to me, I look at everything in numbers, and the numbers just all seem to justify that. But like I said, anything could happen. Monday night, a lone nut Tea Party or militia, Timothy McVeigh type, could could jump in and change the whole thing, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, that's exactly right as well. There's always that kind of, you know, out of left field. We can never predict accurately, because they always have the cards up their sleeves. But the way things are going, I think it seems to be stacking up for Obama. So what does that mean for the next 4 years, assuming that Obama would even be able to maintain, you know, power for 4 years? Who knows what's going to happen in that time? But how do you see this kind of playing out?
It's as bad as the Romney people are saying it's going to be. It's actually much worse. Will we all be on the streets? Will it be the end of America? Will Muslims come and start, you know, taking over our courts, and we're all under Sharia law or whatever Sean Fannity is saying? No, but they will have carte blanche. He never has to run for another election again, unless it's, I don't know, maybe Secretary General of the world government. You know, this is it for them. They got nothing to lose. So this next 4 years, all bets are off. And this is exactly what he's got caught, you know, telling Medvedev to tell Putin, hey, wait till I get reelected. I'm going to give you guys what you need. He's been telling everybody that. Mexico knows that. The oil people, a lot of people just understand that he's just going to go all out. So, you know, I could tell you, and we just went over a few of them, immigration, certainly there'll be Second Amendment issues. There'll be more losses of freedom, a bigger police state. They've just passed here now, or put a precedent through, that it's okay for the police to put cameras on private property to catch people growing marijuana or whatever. So we are slipping fast here into massive police state and tyranny in a technotronic era. And he's the guy, and Brzezinski's the guy that predicted that. That's his man. That's his puppet. And you look at whatever Brzezinski and Soros and guys like Leon Panetta would do, and that's what Obama's going to do. They are internationalists, James. And so they're going to keep chipping away at that as much as possible. They don't even have to, being a Democrat and a progressive or whatever, they don't even have to, you know, create this illusion that they love the country and that they believe in national sovereignty. That's another one of Mitt Romney's problems. You know, he has to be the nationalist. So they're not even going to, you know, pander to that illusion whatsoever. You know, there's a lot working for us and there's a lot working against us. But, you know, if the last 4 years are any indication, all bets are off. They're going to go for it.
Well, how about Jack Blood? Because I know 4 years ago you were such a horrible racist and sexist that you voted for the first African-American slash woman president, Cynthia McKinney. Unfortunately, that didn't pan out, and we got Obama instead. So I guess that makes you a racist somehow. But how about...
Actually, because I voted for Cynthia McKinney because she asked where the missing trillions were at the Pentagon and why they were running drills in the morning of 9/11. Actually got answers, and that impressed me.
One of the few, exactly.
Yeah, we would have had a woman and a African-American for president, and a real one at that, not a phony elite one with blood ties to Cheney and Bush. So, hey, as far as voting this time around, I don't have a dog in this fight, man. I really don't. I'd be willing to write in James Corbett for president, actually. I don't like Johnson. I don't like the Green Party, Jill Stein. I really don't like the Constitution Party's candidate, and I never usually do. And there's no one out there for me. You guys write somebody in, please, whatever you do. And there's been a lot of talk on Patriot Radio here, James, to go ahead and throw in with Romney. They're all kind of jumping on the Rand Paul bandwagon. And it's I'm embarrassed for them. I don't know how people buy it into it. And they've somehow managed to rationalize how anybody but Obama and they're getting away with it, which is incredible to me. So, no, I think a protest vote would be not voting or writing, you know, George Carlin or James Corbett in.
Well, if you write in not only not an American, but someone who is actually against the idea of having presidents, I don't know. Will the universe divide by zero and basically go to infinity or something?
Just go in there and write V on your ballot.
Probably a better vote than most of the candidates you could think of. Well, that is a sad indictment of the society that it can't even throw up third party candidates that are worth voting for anymore, even if they weren't destined to win anyway. I mean, it's just what does that say about the political landscape? I mean, 4 years ago there was someone who energized you and excited you. Do you think this is just a lull, or is this something that's more indicative of where things are heading?
They're all whores and sellouts. And, you know, really, it's pandering to select demographics. And that's we've been divided up into, if you're green, you vote for the Green Party. If you're, you know, I'd like to say if you're a libertarian, you vote for the Libertarian Party. But they didn't elect a libertarian to be their nominee. They elected a Republican to be their nominee. And they had a pretty good guy sitting in there, too. They could have elected and stuck to their principles. I mean, there's one way to go. You vote for third party so they can get matching funds and stay alive. And some people believe in that. Even H. Ross Perot came out and you know, endorsed Romney. So Ralph Nader's very, very quiet for some reason, though I can tell you he doesn't like either of these guys. And maybe he doesn't want to be, you know, messed with anymore. So he's keeping his mouth shut. It doesn't say much, James. I mean, just at the time when people are open enough to look at a really good third party candidate, the last two elections, we get Bob Barr for the Libertarians, the ex-CIA Bob Barr, and then we get Gary Coney Johnson. So, you know, you can say Gary Johnson is the lesser of all of these evils, but I just don't vote that way. I don't vote for the lesser of evils.
Well, that's certainly how we got into the mess. So I can't imagine how anyone's going to get out of it. So I agree. I concur.
You're right. You pointed it out correctly. I'm ashamed. It's probably the worst I've ever seen, really, as far as just nobody. There is just nothing. You know, if I could vote for Roseanne Barr, I would, you know, at this point. But I don't think that – I have Cindy Sheehan on my show tomorrow. She's the vice president on that ticket. But, man, you know, maybe I'll run next time, James. Who knows?
Well, someone's...
I will the government in the name of James Corbett.
Excellent. Well, someone's going to at least inject some real issues. And you're right. I mean, there has been such momentum going into this that people have been talking for 4 or 8 years now that this is the time for a third party to arise. This is when it's all going to happen. And it seems to have completely evaporated since Ron Paul bowed out anyway. And nothing has come along to take that place.
Well, I guess Justin Bieber, if he was running, he could probably win. It's got that bad. And there should be a new party. You know, somebody out there listening to the United States, you know, if you've got some, you know, if you're intelligent and you know how politics work a little bit, you know, don't hesitate. Get out there. And, you know, I miss Aaron Russo. That's a guy who really kind of got it, who did From Freedom to Fascism and then got cancer not long after that and died. We need a new party. We need a new party that will stick to their principles and not try to, you know, get in the limousine, so to speak, with the powers that be. And that's just always what it seems like. You know, the libertarians here, they want name recognition. Well, how's that worked out for them the last several elections? You know, bring Michael Bednarik back. Bring Harry Brown back.
Yeah, it's almost like party politics is designed to fail. Who would have thought it?
Exactly. That's not fun. I'm laughing.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta. Well, that is a sour note to leave things on. Do you have anything positive that you're looking at these days?
Yeah, the one thing is, if we get 4 more years of Obama, we're going to wake up a lot of people, you know, and that was good. You saw that in Bush. Now, how many times do we got to go through this cycle, James, before it sticks? I think that is the positive thing here, is that the United States and a good chunk of the world is a lot more stable than it looks. I think we're having a lot more success than people give us credit for, though it's incremental. And I just, again, challenge people, as I probably do every time I come on, to pick out something and be that guy, you know, go out and participate in your freedom. And, you know, that's the best thing. Tell people about James Corbett and contribute to the show every chance you get, or you're bad, bad, bad freedom activists.
Well, speaking of contributions, once again, tell people about how you run things over at Deadline Live and how people can contribute to that.
Well, you know, a lot of people take advertising money and then they pimp the advertisers. I take your money and I pimp you. So that's how we're. No, I mean, we're donation funded, value for value, at No Agenda Global Radio. And for our website, I mean, we just want people to tell people about what we're doing. That's all. If you find something good, share the wealth. And same thing for you, James. I want people to really value what you've done. And I know they do. And that's why you've come so far. It's always lovely to be with you here, my friend. I guess we'll talk and see if I was right about the election and what else. And those of you out in the East Coast, get away from those nuclear plants. We're not sure how that's going to turn out.
Unfortunately so. Well, always a lot on the table, and you said it so well. So, Jack, thank you once again for your time today.
Thank you very much, James. Stay bold.